That song needs to be a reminder to me throughout my life. Lord, I need you every hour. I can't even walk. I can't do the things that I think I can take care of this, but I need the Lord's help in it all. There's been something that I've been challenged with this week, that we're governed by laws. There are laws that govern our life. Laws are a restriction that's given for our conduct. And I thought about, you know, there are some people that will say, nobody's going to tell me what to do. You ever heard that before? You know what? Before you get home today, somebody's going to tell you what to do. Because just a little ways down the road is a stop sign. And it's been recognized for a long time. Somebody's telling me what to do. I was one day in Guthrie driving some back streets where they have those four-way stops. And I saw behind me a policeman was following me. So you know how you check everything, you make sure you're doing it just perfect. So I came to the stop sign and I stopped, and then I started up again and he turned his lights on. And I thought, no, I know I didn't do anything wrong. He said, you didn't stop. I said, oh sir, I saw you back behind me. That was the best kind of stop I've ever done, probably. I didn't tell him that. But that I was making sure I'd done it just right. He said, nuh-uh. He said, when you stop and I'm behind you, I want to see your head go back. He said, you have not stopped until you're, and I recognize what he's talking about now. You can say I'm stopped. Your car maybe is stopped, but you're still going. And he said, that's what I want to see I don't know about the future. I hope not to see him again. But he said, that's what we're looking for, is you're governed by laws and they're watching those laws. We have turn signals. And Cheryl would tell me every once in a while, Dan, use your turn signal. And I would tell her this. I say, you know what? That bulb has just so many blinks in it before it's going to go out. And I'm saving some of those blinks. Well, then the police pulled me over. You didn't turn on your turn signal when you went around that corner. You know, we have so many things. If you look at it, just the laws of the land, there are so many laws that we have boundaries put into our life. Speed limit. You know, all along between here and Guthrie, there are different streets that they decide you need to drive this speed limit. What would it be if there was no speed limit? I thought about when we've been over in Germany and they call it the Autobahn. Here's a stretch of road that there is no speed limit. It's just how fast will your car go. But you know something I recognized even there? That's not all the way across the country. If it were all the way across Germany, it would take you just a few minutes to go from one side of Germany to the other. But you go a little ways, and then it says, here's a restriction. Slow it down. You're coming through this area. So I've been thinking of, these are just the laws of the land. But what about the laws of God? You know, God has laws also set in place. And we can say, you remember that verse in the scripture where it says, these people said, we're not going to have this man to reign over us. Well, he's still got some laws that would govern our life if we would let him. And I was looking at just the Ten Commandments. You know, Solomon, he was the wisest man that ever lived. And yet there were some laws that were intended to govern his life. One of those laws was, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Solomon did real good with that restriction for quite a while. And then he started marrying some women that had some other gods that they served. And not only did he just marry them, but there was an influence that came to him, to where before it's over, we read where it says they turned his heart away from God. God had laws intended to be able to put boundaries in their lives. I thought about just the Ten Commandments itself. There are a few of those govern our conduct toward God. And I think about those. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. That was a law back then that was required It was between your conduct and God's. There were also some others. Don't take the name of the Lord in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Those are between them and God. But then there were several that was given of the Ten Commandments were intended to affect our relationship with other people. Here's some of them. Honor your father and mother. Thou shalt not kill, not steal, not commit adultery, not bear false witness, not covet. You know, all those are where we have contact with other people. Now, I thought about this. I've read stories before where there was a shipwreck. And some person, he happens to just grab him a timber or something and gets to an island and he's the only one there. You know what? None of these laws that affect human relations would affect him now. He's not having a problem with don't kill. There's nobody else there to affect him. All of those things. But because we're living in a society with people all around us, God decided, you know what, I want to put some boundaries for you. Got some laws for you to be able to deal with each other. So we had the law where the list of laws would be posted in public places. Just reminders to us, hey, God's got some boundaries for us. So then in the schools when they say, no, let's take them out. We don't want those because we don't want to have to see those. Some of us don't believe in it. Well, then some of the very things that God's law was intended to be a boundary for started happening, where we see the school shootings, and we sit down and we try to figure out what can we do to stop this. Well, God had a boundary a long time ago. If we would have followed it, it would have put a border for our lives. But instead, you know what they're doing is they're saying, we have got to come up with some gun laws. If we could come up with gun laws, that would take care of it. It was not a gun that happened to be in Cain and Abel's life. When Cain killed him, there wasn't a gun. There was something happening inside the heart of man. And that's what God was intending to change. So I'm thinking about the laws that God has set for us. You know, there are some laws that are intended to bring the most happiness to us if we will do it. We are by nature, we can be selfish people. We can be, you know what, this is all about me. But I want us to look at a verse over in Luke. I was looking at this week. Luke, the 6th chapter. And down toward the end, we hear about the golden rule. And in this one, as ye would that men should do to you, do ye also to them also. So here's us a little law that we can use. That if I will use it in my life, setting boundaries of how I treat other people, would I want them to treat me the same way as you would that men should do to you? Do you even so to them? And then it goes on down in the 35th verse. Love your enemies. Do good. You know, even someone that's not doing me good, as you would that they would do to you, you do also to them. And here's what we do. Love your enemies. Do good. Lend, hoping for nothing again. And ye shall be the children of the highest, for he is kind to those that are good to him. No, he is kind to the unthankful and to the evil. Be therefore merciful as your father also is merciful. This morning for a little bit, I want us to look at another law. It's a law that we get to choose whether we will let it govern our life or whether we won't. And that is called, if I could put a title to this today, is the law of kindness. A law of kindness. Solomon was the wisest man that ever lived. Does wisdom pass down from one person to another? It didn't in his case. In fact, he lost it before he was out of here. But he also had a son that was born to him. He was going to be the king, Rehoboam. And we read over when Solomon died, Rehoboam is now going to be the king. We find this over in 2 Chronicles. We're talking about the law of kindness now. And I'm thinking it's very important for us to be able to see this because we're influenced by other people around us and how we treat them. 2 Chronicles, the 10th chapter, and in the first verse. And now it's his opportunity for Rehoboam. All Israel is coming to make him king in the first verse. And we go on down, and apparently there have been some things that happened that Solomon, you remember when the Queen of Sheba came and saw Solomon? She said, "Your servants are happy. They are happy to serve you." But you know what? He kept on living a while, because this is no longer the testimony. Here's the testimony that they brought to Rehoboam about his father. Fourth verse. "Your father made our yoke grievous. Now therefore ease thou somewhat the grievous servitude of thy father and his heavy yoke that he put upon us, and we will serve thee." And he says, "Go away for a few days. I'm going to have you an answer." What's the choice going to be? They're telling him, "Solomon, your father, put a hard yoke on us. We had to serve hard." You remember when they wanted a king, you remember Samuel, God told Samuel, "I want you to let them know, here's what a king is going to do for you. He's going to take your sons and he's going to put them to work, taking care of his vineyards. He's going to take your vineyards because he wants them himself. It's not going to be just as easy as you felt like it would be." Well, now it comes on down and Solomon has passed and now Rehoboam is coming up. And they're telling him, "Your father gave us some hard..." He was a hard taskmaster. Thinking of a verse over in Deuteronomy 30 and 19. "I have set before you life and death, and blessing and cursing. Choose life." You know, that's not just life, "I'm breathing today and then I quit." It's about being able to, the choices that I make in my life and the results of those choices. Rehoboam is about to get to decide if he wants to abide by, be governed by the law of kindness. They're telling him, "If you'll just ease up this load a little bit for us." And so he goes to the old men, sixth verse. "Rehoboam took counsel with the old men that had stood before Solomon his father while he yet lived, saying, 'What counsel do you give me?' And they spake unto him in the seventh verse, 'If you be kind to this people and please them and speak good words to them, they'll be your servants forever.'" It looks like that's what any king would want. That's some good advice. I will take it. I will go back to them and say, "You know what? I'm going to investigate. What areas did my father not treat you right? And I'll be taking care of that. We'll do it different." But what does it do? Eighth verse. And you know what? We get to choose this sometimes. When the law of kindness is presented to us, how to put it to practice in this situation that I'm in, and I get to choose, do I follow this counsel that comes to me or do I follow something else? It says in the eighth verse, "He forsook the counsel the old men gave him, and he took counsel with the young men that were brought up with him that stood before him." He goes to his young friends and says, "Tell me what I should let them know." And it goes on down and they said, "I tell you what, here's what you tell them. You said, 'You think my father was hard on you. I'm going to be harder than that.'" Now, what kind of thinking was that to start with? How did he ever feel like, "I'm going to win these people by this way"? And he lost them. He lost 10 tribes out of that, answering them roughly. This is 2025, and I'm not alone on an island. I didn't wash up on a piece of wood, and I don't have all these other six commands that deal with my influence and working with other people. And now here I am presented with, I can give, I can abide by the law of kindness, or I can choose other ways to be able to deal with things. "I've set before you life and death, blessing and cursing." And you know, in our influence with other people today, I say, "Lord, help me in the words I say, that I would be governed by the law of kindness." I want to tell you how that is affected. In Proverbs 18, Proverbs 18 and 21, I look at this verse. "Death and life are in the power of the tongue. They that love it shall eat the fruit thereof." The power of our tongue. Be able to look at that. There is a verse, this law of kindness is represented in a verse. And it's over in Proverbs 31 and 10. This is talking about a woman that made choices in her life. Proverbs 31 and 10. Who can find a virtuous woman? Her price is far above rubies. And here's one of the values that she has. 26th verse. She opens her mouth. Words are about to come out. She opens her mouth with wisdom. And in her tongue is the law of kindness. The words that she says is influenced by a law of kindness. I want to be able to have that in my life. There's a prayer that is prayed in Psalms 19 and 14. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart, I want them to be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Just like I'm affected by the stop sign, I want to be able to obey the laws of the land. I want to also be governed by this law also, because I come in contact with other people around me. And this law of kindness is not only about, remember it was saying that God was not influenced to be kind only to those that were kind to him, but he was kind to those that were unthankful and evil. That I would be able to be governed by the law of kindness. I want to be able to have it. But you know what? There is power in our tongue. I want us to look over here in James for a little bit. Because we can be influenced. In James 3 and 2, in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same as a perfect man and able to bridle the whole body. You know, our tongue and the words we say. You know, sometimes the word I say can have a, we call it have a barb to it. To where it is said in a way, and you know, I could even be smiling or laughing when I say it. But you know, our tongue goes out and it affects other people. In fact, I want to be real careful because the Lord understands the thoughts and the intents of my heart. And what's happening in my heart happens before what comes out of my mouth. And I want to be able to be on guard, because this third chapter, in the third verse, third chapter of James, tells us the seriousness of my tongue and how I use it. Third verse, behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. It says in the fifth verse, the tongue is a little member, boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. It goes on down in the ninth verse, therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. You know, I do not curse men today. But you know what I can do is in my mind and in my voice, I can undervalue them. And I say, Lord, help me. I want my life to be governed by the law of kindness. I want it to be able to flow out. Because we get to read here before this chapter ends, it talks about how terrible the tongue can be. But I don't want to stop until I look at the 17th and 18th. The wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. The fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. So I look at this woman that out of her tongue came the law of kindness. And I think of some verses, Proverbs 15 and 11. A soft answer will turn away wrath. Grievous words will stir up anger. The law of kindness can be quickly set aside if I'm not careful. Proverbs 25 and 11. A word that is fitly spoken is like apples of gold in pitchers of silver. The right word that is said at the right time. I say, Lord, help me to be very careful of my words. Let me be governed by the law of kindness. There is a song that has been out for several years. This is what it says. Let me be a little kinder. Can we be? Yes. You know, if I'll be real honest, if I sit down sometime when it's real quiet and I ask the Lord to judge me, Let me be a little kinder. Let me be a little blinder to the faults of those about me. Let me praise a little more. Let me be, when I am weary, just a little bit more cheery. Let me think a little more of others and a little less of me. The law of kindness will work then. There's a verse over in Colossians. The words that I say, that they would be able to help others. Colossians, the 3rd chapter, and in the 12th verse. Put on, therefore. You know, this is kind of like get ready to go out into the world. Get your jacket on. Get clothed. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, forgiving one another. Look at this. Put on this coat of kindness when I'm going out into the world. Want to be able to be a help to others. And then we have in 1 Corinthians what we call the love chapter, the charity chapter, love toward God, my love toward God, and also my love toward the fellow man. In the 4th verse, here's what love can do. Charity suffers long, and while it's suffering long, it's kind. Charity envieth not, charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. You know, while I'm suffering, am I kind? Do I have in my tongue the law of kindness, causing the words that I say to be right? It goes on down in the 5th verse. Doesn't behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil. You know, how easy is it, even when I hear of somebody that I hear has done wrong, what about the 6th verse? Do I rejoice in iniquity? Have you ever heard this saying, I knew they were going to turn out this way, the direction that they were going? Rejoices not in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, desiring for every person to be able to know the good about them. And it goes on down, now that I know that there's something wrong, he beareth all things, he believeth all things, then he hopes all things, and then he endures all things. Wanting to be able to have this charity, this love for my fellow man, I want to be governed by the law of kindness. There's another verse over in Ephesians, the 4th chapter, and in the 31st verse. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And so I've emptied this out. This is not who I am anymore. But you remember the story of the man that when the unclean spirit has gone out of a man, it's empty now. Going to have to fill it up with something. Here's what it gets filled back up with. In the 32nd verse, be ye kind one to another. Filling that void up of where it used to be bitterness, wrath, anger. Could have been some unforgiveness in there. And now I'm going to replace it, refill it. Be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. You know, we have got some songs in our songbook where people have gotten these kind of testimonies in their life, and they told us about them. In song number 393, as I was looking at this subject, I want to be able to have this in my life. 4th verse, gentleness, kindness, purity, trueness. It's going to yield a rich fruitage, never to cease. Sowing in meekness under the Spirit. It's going to bring eternal blessings and peace. Not just over in eternal, but eternal from now and out into eternity. Gentleness, kindness, purity, trueness yields a rich fruitage. And then what does it say in the chorus? Soon we're going to gather what we now scatter. unto your life give diligent heed. What we are sowing, and I'm thinking about the law of kindness now, what we are sowing surely is growing. That which we reap is going to be just like the seed. There's another one over in 3:29. We're sowing every moment, first verse, seeds that yield much good and bad. And each one is surely growing. It's either cheering souls or making sad. Let us sow good seeds for Jesus in the hearts of fallen men. Many happy souls will bless us and a crown of glory gain. I believe that can happen when I'm governed by the law of kindness. Want to be able to sow those seeds. And then it says in the second verse, let us sow each seed in kindness, praying God the fallow ground may be broken up in softness and the fruits of peace abound. Want to be able to have that flowing out of my life. You know, we're living in a time where all around us is hatred going on. Folks, if we can have the law of kindness in my tongue, the words that come out, it's going to make an impact on the world around us. I look at a place where it tells us to add some things into our life. In 2 Peter, the first chapter, and in the 5th verse. Beside this, give all diligence. Add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge temperance. It goes through a whole list. Temperance, patience. To patience, godliness. And then godliness. On top of godliness, now add this one, brotherly kindness. To brotherly kindness, charity. And then it says, if these things will be in you and abound, you will not be barren nor unfruitful. But it goes on down in the 10th verse. Give diligence to make your calling and election sure. If you do these things, you will never fall. For so an entrance will be ministered to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I want to be able to make heaven my home. There are things that I can add into my life that are going to make that possible, and I want to be able to put those in. One of the Ten Commandments says, thou shalt not covet. And in that, it even went in and gave you some little points in there. Don't covet your master's house. All of these things that he has, his animals, his vineyard. You remember with Ahab, when he looked over at the vineyard of Naboth, and this desire, what is covet? A desire with eagerness. It can be for good or for bad. Ahab, as he looked at that vineyard and he said, I've got to have it, covetousness stepped in. Thou shalt not covet. Well, I want to tell you there is a place that the scripture tells us we can covet. And I want to look at that. 1 Corinthians 12 and 31. Talks about the gifts of the Spirit. And this one, it says, covet earnestly the best gift. I believe a very good gift for us to have is the law of kindness working in our heart. There's a song that says, Lord, with thy gentleness, I would be great. You know, greatness usually does not come from gentleness. Sometimes greatness comes from stepping on top of somebody else to move myself up the ladder. Lord, with thy gentleness, I would be great. I want to be able to have the fruits of the Spirit abounding in my life. I see those in Galatians. Galatians in the 5th chapter and in the 22nd verse. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. And there's no law that's against those of us being able to have those in our life. I want to be able to have the law of kindness. This woman, with all of the work that she was doing, still out of her mouth was the law of kindness. I want to be able to have that also. I'd like for us to close with a song. It's number 253. Verse 1 and 2, let us ever love each other with a heart that's warm and true. Now, is that telling us, okay, we're dealing with who's in the congregation right now. Let's love each other with a heart that's warm and true. I want to tell you, I believe it goes on down to those that I'll meet at the store tomorrow, those that will not treat me well. Let us ever love each other with a heart that's warm and true. Ever doing to our brother, you remember, who is my neighbor? It goes into more than just who goes to service with me. Ever doing to our brother as to us we'd have him do. When the heart is sad and lonely, and the eyes with tears o'erflow, here's what's going to help it, and here's my opportunity. Gentle words and deeds of kindness will fall like sunbeams on the snow. I want to have this working in my life. It's going to show up so clearly to the world around me. Kind and loving to each other. Gentle words to those that you meet in service. No. Gentle words to all we meet. A soft answer turns away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. Gentle words to all we meet. Thus we follow. This is how, not just my words that I'm a Christian, but by this law of kindness that's flowing out to others. Thus we follow Christ our Savior, proving all his service sweet. I want to have the law of kindness working in my life. I desire your prayers.